Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to The Regiment, the Early Doors podcast with Phil Mealy and me, Ben Steele, episode 3. How are you, Phil?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you? All
not
good?
Too bad. Yeah. How was Cologne? Or can you not go into too Cologne. Much detail?
found a great bar with an umpire band made of dummies.
I've been that bar.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. One of my mates got absolutely fascinated with it. It was like he was putting more money into the machine than he was spending on beer. It's like a machine. Do you remember that clown at Blackpool that used to sort of, you put money in it and it would like, as you went in and it sort of danced around. It was really spooky, actually.
Yeah, Vic and Bob did a sketch around that, didn't they?
Who's that?
Vic and Bob.
Did they?
Yeah, with like a cheeky monkey, I think.
Oh, right.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, because I remember Craig hates anything like that. Remember we went to, when we were working at Tesco's way back in the day, when we were stacking shelves, mm-hmm. part time, they organised a Blackpool trip. So we all went on the coach, and me and my mates were trying to pull him towards this, the glass case, and he's absolutely kicking off big time about it, yeah. So it was like one of those, Dance with Papa, it was called. It sounds, which to be honest with you, sounds a bit dodgy to start with, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But my mate, Malibu, he just got fascinated with it. He just kept money in it. And it was almost like, you know, when you see a cat that sits at a goldfish bowl watching a goldfish go around, that's what he was like. So, yeah. I said, we'll have to get it dragged. If his marriage goes west or anything, we can always get that over maybe and give him something to focus on.
Yeah, I've beaten that bar. Yeah, it's on the square, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, very busy. Yeah. And it's got like a lot of those, there's a piano, isn't there, that plays itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they've got that sort of mannequin that moves around. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and a cocktail making machine that just all the optics are up and they punch in whatever the cocktail is and the arm moves the glass to the different...
That wasn't there when I was there.
That's there now.
Nice.
So then you're like, let's get another cocktail so we can see the machine.
Yeah.
Whoever's the manager there has got, they should have definitely got a degree in business.
Yeah. There's another 20 euros.
It's brilliant.
Long Island, please. Great. So, because last episode we kind of went through all of the characters, basically, and I guess Episode one of any show, one of the main priorities is just to set up the characters. So that makes sense that we did that.
Yeah.
So I thought, I went through the show, I picked out some of the themes, but there's so many, so dense. So I guess, was that intentional? Or is it just how it was written? That was, there's so much content in 28 minutes. Because I've counted, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's about 14 bullet points we could talk about that are like got a story behind them, or like a plot point, like the temporary traffic lights comes back and forth, comes in and out. The big boys Beano, which we'll probably will talk about.
Yeah.
Kind of comes in and out.
I think the thing is that because the other thing is because he's such a big cast in it, you know, we wanted to keep it a bit, and because you're only in, you know, you're in one location principally, really, we didn't want it to be as static as the royal family. So,
right,
it sounds a bit weird, really, because all we are in the pub, in the kitchen and upstairs. But really, that's like an action movie compared to the royal family, isn't it? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the other thing we wanted to do was, in order to sort of keep it moving, is to have different, you know, the different characters having their own thing going on.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's slightly more difficult to get into Early Doors and the royal family, because I think you need a couple of episodes just to settle, really, and think and get what the characters are about.
Because
once you've done that, then you go, oh, right, oh, okay. I get that these people are, you know, I get Eddie and Joan a bit naive but happy. I get that we've got the dodgy cops going on. I get the relationship with these people. And I think it's one of them, really, in a family sitcom, you know, generally, you've just got four or five people, haven't you?
Yeah.
Your main characters, where with Early Doors, I think other than Ken, you could probably say it's one of the truest examples of an ensemble comedy that around, because everybody's pretty evenly handed as far as storylines and dialogue and that kind of thing is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, they've all got, you know, Winnie's got a son that's in prison and all that kind of stuff going on. And, you know, there's Ken and Tanya. And so I just think that it's like one of those things people who watch it say, well, nothing really happens. But that's not actually true, is it?
Lots, not at all. No.
Lots of things are happening in the lives of these
people. Too much is happening because there's so many bullet points.
Yeah. So we kind of just kind of, and it's nice. I think it's nice to have a thread going through that. So when you're watching it, you're going, oh, right. Oh, they're talking about Joan's mum again, or whoever it is, just to pick that, you know, keep that thread moving along as well. I try and make it funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick three, maybe four of the big things and then just rattle through some of the other parts.
Yeah.
So like Big Boys Beano.
Yeah.
About 8 minutes, we hear about this magical trip to York.
Yeah.
By the Bamboo Club.
Oh, yes.
And it's almost like the arc of season one is leading up to the Big Boys Beano episode.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll get to season two, series two.
Yeah.
The arc is leading up to Mel's 21st.
Yeah.
The Big Boys Beano, I guess you've just been on one.
Yeah.
To Cologne. So was that like was that the idea, thinking about the first series, that it was going to lead up to this event? And was that always going to be the event? Or were you playing around with 21sts or whatever else it might be?
No, it was always going to be the event. I don't know. We just sort of felt that, you know, it's exceptional to a pub, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, these sort of big, sort of, trips to the races and all that business, to the Bamboo Club, were like, you know, coach trip out for the boys is just kind of just a done thing. But I think as well, because we had the issue of Mel looking for a real dad, I mean, I don't think that starts to play into the series one until about, is it episode 2 or 3?
You get hints, but it's not really till episode 5 when you really start.
Yeah, we know she's looking for him, don't we? She mentions it in episode 3, I think. So what we wanted to try and do was have something that played against this serious point as well. So there's like a, her finding a real dad is quite, is a dilemma, isn't it, for Ken?
Yeah.
Because he loves her and he wants her to find a real dad, obviously. But underneath, he's frightened he's going to lose her to this, her biological father.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing that against him giving it, oh, come on, boys, let's get a game on sausages and all that, you know. And it's only when, so it's two events that completely very much opposed to each other. Yeah. One's a serious reunion of somebody that she hadn't seen since she was a baby. And the other one is just a bit of a jolly up with the lads.
Yeah.
Which is why, of course, when they come back and everyone's had a few drinks, the conversation turns to it. Because everyone knows
that it's in the air.
Yeah, it's in the air. And everyone can feel it other than Eddie. Because he's just oblivious. Oh, still, must be eating away at you, Ken. Yeah. So, and you can see in that as well, which is something really nice, I think, the fact that he shares his insecurity with everyone. You know, she'll like him. She won't like, I mean, you know, they won't, you know, she won't like him that much, will she, Liam? And, you know, she's still my daughter. And, oh, yeah, of course she is. She's great, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
They're bolstering him up, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, but the big boys, Beano, just felt like, yeah, it's a great thing to work towards. I mean, right from the word go, I think the first 5 minutes when Joe and Duffy are in there, she's right. Are you lads on the big boys being or what? Starts telling, you know, come in here, you know, early doors, bit of breakfast, on the coach, da-da-da-da-da, and the bamboo club and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing is as well, it is that thread that's going through it where it's like, he's not sure. He's like, you know, come on, lads. If you drop out, we'll have to borrow that bike off the goodies to get there and all that kind of stuff. Because he's trying to get people on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just
a nice.
Yeah. Nice relief. Little way to finish a series off. And also as well, there's so much that happens on those things.
Yeah.
But almost talking about it is, I mean, that's why I think sometimes in comedy, if you see those things, you don't necessarily believe them. They seem a bit more slapstick, if you like, than if you're actually talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you saw the coppers with the police tape, you know, you'd laugh, I guess, you know, cordoning off an area for the coach and all that kind of stuff. Or them, you know, showing the police badges and getting them in. It's funny, but to hear them talk about it, it's kind of almost as funny, if not funnier, because you're trying to put the pictures in your own head.
Yeah, it's like waiting for the shark in Jaws, kind of. Obviously, it's completely different, but you do know what I mean? As in, it's more anticipating.
Yeah.
More anticipation when that sort of thing happens.
Yeah, and people are waiting. It's like when we go to the, I guess, because that was the only episode, I think we're right in saying, that where we did a time shift.
That's right.
I think all the other episodes were just real time.
Yeah.
Until we got to the last episode, which is obviously what to make it something. So there's all that excitement and the giddiness of them going and then all the kind of shenanigans when they come back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, right. Exactly. That's the only one where there's like a not real time, so to speak. I think there's one other episode when the bar's really busy, and I'm sure we'll come to it because my memory's gone, where it's probably stretched a little bit. It might be the quiz. No, I'm not. No, it's not the quiz.
No, quiz not seen.
No, we'll get to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So one of the smaller things I wanted to pick up is Gyro Jim and the Chinese story.
Which everybody, I've seen loads of people say, my friend did this or my friend did that. And you think, well, I don't know, did they?
So my question is, I have two questions in one. Yeah. Is Gyro Jim a real person or a combination of people? And is that a story that you and Craig created or a real life story?
Gyro Jim was a real person. He's popped his clogs now, but he was.
So you never got to
seaside. Pardon? You never went to the seaside? No. But he was, and that was his name, Gyro Jim, because back in the day, younger people won't remember, but when you were on the dole, you got a gyro that you took to the post office and got your money. So he never had he was always doing bits of stuff on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw an advert, I think flat packs, included. So he could do a flat pack from B&Q and Chimleys, Chimleys, into the post office window. Chimleys, the speciality. So but he's one of these guys that, bit like one of my cousins, really, who would sort of put in a good shift of work until about 12, 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and then he'd go in the pub and then that'd be him, you know.
That's so him he'd done.
Like, yeah. So, you know, he'd get like 30 or 40 quid for a morning's work or whatever, and then he'd just spend it in the pub, get a kebab, get Chinese or whatever. I'm pretty sure we must have made that story up because I remember talking about it and mm-hmm. saying, you know, why don't anybody do that? Or I'm sure we did. I don't think, and I can't be absolutely 100% certain about this. Certainly since that time, lots of people have claimed it as their own. I've seen tweets where people say, oh, my mate did this the other day. And then people say, yeah, but that's a Gyro Jim story from early doors. So, and
one of the other things about Joan, similar to the, what's it called? Clover on a Guinness. She just calls it eggy fried rice.
Oh, yeah.
So charming about that. And I don't know what it is. Did she change the script to say eggy fried rice? That's like her.
No, I'm pretty sure it'll have been in there.
Yeah.
Eggy fried rice. I don't know. There's something about it that, I don't know, sounds quite. He gets his eggy fried rice. And I don't know.
No, it does.
It just, there's something about it that just felt. I have no idea. Sometimes, you know, you write these things and you just think, oh, yeah, that sounds, that, you know, it's not particularly hilariously funny, but it's just.
Real.
A little bit of detail, isn't it?
Yeah. It's real as well.
And I must have heard, or Craig must have heard, because I can't remember it, but we'll have heard one of our, you know, my mum or Craig's mum or the dad give it. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll have an eggy fried rice. You know, like eggy bread. You mm-hmm. used to have eggy bread.
Oh, God, eggy bread, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think they just adopted it and called it eggy fried rice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, with Joan, you get Eddie. And one of the other things I just want to quickly mention, we already spoke about how Eddie's following Ken up and down the bar like a puppy.
Yeah.
And then he goes in the toilet and he's got his sign up.
Yeah.
And he comes back out offended. And everyone's like, you don't smoke, Eddie.
Yeah.
And he's going to say something. As soon as Ken says something, he bottles it.
Yeah, he bottles
still,
it.
He's still his hero. He's still his...
Yeah, well, I'm offended. And that's got him smacking the bar. Yes, Eddie. Back in the dry roasted, please, Ken.
And he has another great line of, it's not my fault, except maybe it's a build-up of piss.
Yeah.
It's a great line.
Yeah. Again.
Like a good pass in football, it's only a good pass unless if there's someone at the other end. And the way that Mark delivers it is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, he's brilliant at all that kind of stuff. Well, it's absolutely nothing to do with me. Well... Maybe the build, apart from building the piss.
Yeah. This is a really nice line.
really nice thing.
Well, I think that one of the things about all that kind of stuff is that he is quite, even though he's a bit slow, he's kind of, you know, he's got a bit of an obsessive nature, hasn't he? Like with the temporary traffic lights. So, so yeah, it's nothing to do with me. Well, maybe apart from the, you know what I mean? You can't, you think, well, yeah, actually.
Yeah. So there's a couple of bits I want to just dwell on a bit longer. Obviously, Mel's looking for a dad. She mentions it. Well, she doesn't mention, actually, it's the coppers who mention it. And,
oh, yes, yeah.
Quite right. And Ken's given her 20 quid and an advance on her. And it might be that, but I don't think it is. I think it's been like this for years, where she's just got him wrapped around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she, you know, she, it's, you know, my daughters are the same and yours will be the same. Have you got daughters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're older than that now.
Yeah. Well, mine are, and they kind of know, you know, and I know that, you know, I
might go,
you know, they know they'll get the sort of, you know, just a soft touch.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of know. Ken's always been like that with her, you know, he loves, he won't, you know, he's the kind of dad, I think, that would, you know, give her his last penny if he, you know, because he just, you know, they've just got such a great relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think he's like, blood, you know, he can, oh, hey, oh, here we go again. He sort of makes her dutifully, not again.
Yeah.
He only worked an hour, you know. So he groans a little bit, which is sort of, she expects him to do, but she knows that he's going to relent anyway. So, you know, and I think it's just that thing where, yeah, it's just that, oh, okay then, you know, with your daughters.
But it's a nice, it's another juxtaposition actually, because you've got Eddie and Joan with Tommy and you've got the big boys Beano with Mel trying to find her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Ken's been around the block and he knows how the estates work, and he's a bit, I wouldn't say he's a hard man, but he knows people.
Yeah.
And like, he's in with the coppers and he's got a good bravado, and like Eddie's on about the build up with piss and stuff. But on the other side of that, he's soft as cloth, so Mel. And it's quite a nice, another opposite.
Yeah. Thing. But it's like that, it's real life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw a lot of sitcoms where this one character is just the same with everybody, and that's just not real life, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because your relationships are different with people. You know, the way he is with, like, let's say, Tommy, is, go on, you know, he's having a little pop at him. He's different to the way he is with Mel, to the way he's with his mum, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that thing where, you know, you are different with different people. Everybody is, you know, so.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about, I think it makes them more believable as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it makes, you know, because that's one of the things about it as well. I think people like Early Doors, and, you know, particularly because, you know, they always say, oh, I know that guy in that pub, or oh, I know this, and I know this. And I think it's because it reminds them of,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's heightened, the characteristics are heightened. But to all intents and purposes, most people will say, oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, there was a bloke like that who used to go in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that it's why it resonates with people.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And something that we spoke about in the last episode of the pinching the pennies or topping up the Courvoisier.
Yeah.
Use of Nana's blue badge.
Yeah.
The local shops around mine, people don't even bother using blue badges around there. They'll just park in the disabled. It goes my head in, at least like make an effort and get a badge from somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's, again, it's that weird thing of like, we know it's not right, but it happens.
Yeah.
And people just let it fly.
Well, and it's kind of, it's like an acceptable bit of villainy, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's not absolutely, you know, they're not, you know, it's sort of, well, it's not quite, you know, they're not the great train robbers, are they? You know, Ken's nicking some pennies off the pile. Well, it's not great, really, but, you know, it's kind of that, just, you know, bordering on the edge of it. I wouldn't mind as well, but particularly, it's like with the blue badge, and the coppers are in on that. The coppers are like, oh, we'll get you one of those. I think I might have lost it. Oh, don't worry about that, Ken, we'll get you another. It's like, you know, the cops just see it as, well, it's not really, you know, it's just sort of booking the system, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That's what that's what they see it as. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just cheating the system a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a running theme as well, isn't it? Every now and again it just pops up that, where's your blue badge?
Yeah, where's your blue badge? Oh, your nana had it last when she went, oh, no, I had it last, didn't I? Oh, no, yeah. Wait a minute, I learnt it, Winnie, when she was going to the... Yeah, it's like this blue badge just does the rounds with everybody.
In the last episode, I think we were talking about another character who we don't see. We couldn't remember the person named Reenie. It was Reenie's son.
Reenie's son, yeah.
Reenie's son, yeah.
Yeah.
But Gene couldn't help but get a dig in on Winnie's son, who you mentioned before was in prison. We never find out what he did we, or how long he's
been. No. I mean, I think you just, how did she live with that? How did she cope with that?
Yeah.
In a way, if you found that it's obviously something serious and it's kind of better left unsaid, I think. I think we decided that. I think we had, you know, talked about it and said, well, should we reveal what he did? And we're like, well, is there really the point of this? Is that the, I can't believe Reenie's son. Oh, my word, it's awful. How embarrassing for her. Oh, wouldn't you be, how ashamed you'd be of that. Well, let's nobody else find out. No. Do you want to borrow it, show your friends? Yeah. Well, I've got photocopies here. You know what I mean? The whole purpose of it is that thing where people do that thing. Oh, don't worry. Hey, listen, I won't tell anyone. Your secret's safe with me.
Yeah.
And everyone knows those people.
Yeah.
Who would just say, oh, knows those people that are like, you know, which is typical of Winnie and Gene do that a lot, don't they? They do, you know, they sort of have that one-upmanship with them.
Yeah.
But they also get in cahoots about different things, yeah, you know, as well, when it suits them. When it's something that's like a joint interest, like it's, you know, Reenie's son, or, you know, something's happened that they need, you know, they can, or, you know, Winnie's saying, well, Tanya downstairs. Well, what do you mean? So, you know, then you'll sit down. And,
so, because I think at one point, well, I'm sure we'll get to it. Gene's making Winnie work, and then Winnie has gossip. She's like, oh, sit down, have a cake.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I need to know this, so I'll forget that I was...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then she's like, come on, get this grill pan done. It won't do itself, will it? Once she's got the information off her,
yeah,
she's like, okay, right, what you get. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what's... I think that's what's... Again, you know, there is that thing about people, and it's not, you know, having that, who appear on the surface, you know, when they see the, oh, I love you, all right. There's that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And underneath it, you know that they're like, when the backs are turned, have you seen, oh, look at this about Rini, you know. But if you saw Rini, you know, they'd be, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Well, I mean, it's off. I've not even read about it. You know, I won't buy the paper. Overly put it in there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Totally right, though. I've heard that conversation at my grandma's.
Yeah.
When I used to go to wherever my mum, when I was younger, and I was dragged along. I've heard that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Never even seen that on page 14 of the paper.
My dad's sister, she was always, you know, she was like, I was on about the neighbours saying, you know, there's a woman lived next door. She had a load of kids. She said, but you know, the youngest two, they don't look anything like the father, do they? They don't look anything like him at all. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, he works away, you know, she's, you know, she goes in number, you know what I mean? She was, I'm not saying anything, but they're nothing like, you know, it's all that thing, isn't it? I'm saying nothing, well, I didn't say anything, but it's all, you know.
But you're saying everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that relationship upstairs, and we spoke about it last week with the sweet cakes, etc.
Yeah.
When the mention that when Ken mentions the photocopies, sorry.
Yeah.
Jean has her inhaler. Is that why was it a person like that?
There was a friend of Craig's initially. It was like who she had called Norma, who she had an inhaler, and it was one of those, it was an old one though, but you still use it because they went out of fashion ages ago, the old whizzy ones.
Yeah.
So it was really funny. It's just like a funny thing. And it's just like, it's almost the personification of that sharp intake of breath, isn't it? You know what I mean? When somebody's been caught out, it's
yeah.
You know, so she reaches for the inhaler. And it's a great device as well, because it just punctuates. It's great for ending a scene because, you know, she's been, you know, the rug's been pulled from underneath her again. I think we had one where she was listening in on something. Mm-hmm. And something happened and you just heard the whiz go off, and you just know that she's hiding somewhere watching what's going on. So that was Norma, that she used to have an inhaler. It just seemed like a really good device to use.
Yeah.
And people loved that. It's funny what the little things that, you know, when we play live and stuff, like when we went on tour, people would bring inhalers to sign. And, you know, I used to get, people always would bring Frey Bentos pies
for me to
sign and stuff. I think it's just that little, you know, like a Frey Bentos pie thing is a mate of mine who used to, you know, he was on his own and he'd just come back from the shop with, you know, with a bag and with a, Frey Bentos pie and a few bits and pieces. But it's great because it's just a proper single man's, put it in the oven, take the top off, dead tasty. What more do you want? It's done. Just the real.
Yeah. All condensed in that one little.
Yeah. I mean, that personifies. And then I think it's when, I'm not quite sure which episode, when Duffy goes in and he's, all right, yeah. What I've got, steak and kidney. What have you got?
Yeah, chicken and mushroom.
Yeah. So, you know, like these two, you know, it's like I'm just the same as Tommy here. I'm in that same sad boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, a couple more quick things. I know you wanted me to ask about the exercise class.
Oh, yeah. 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 So, the exercise class. So, it's interesting that because, when we, I think we were talking last week about us trying to get it commissioned, and we couldn't get it commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
It took 18 months for us to get it away. And we've sort of been turned down by everybody, including, well, all the major channels like ITV, Channel 4, BBC 1 and 2. And then when we finally got back with BBC One, because Mark Phelan, who works at Sky, got us, loved the script and said, you know, we've got to make this. And he was great, actually, Mark. So, and, you know, he did stick his neck out for us. But there was a note from the BBC said, we need some more women in the episode. And we were like, well, we have got lots of women now, but we need a bigger female presence. So he said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do like, we'll make it like he's got a Keep Fit class upstairs, and we'll have a lot of women coming in, and you know, they can do the keep fit class, and then they'll be in the pub and this, that, and the other. And they were like, right, great. So we wrote it into the first episode, but that was it. So, like, that first episode is quite a few women, like Janice is one, and you know, they all go upstairs to the Keep Fit club. Well, they're still up there now because none of them ever came back down. We never referred, it was just. So it's that thing of when they saw the script for the, you know, they couldn't be bothered reading the series, but they saw, read episode one, thought, oh, right, okay, we've got this Keep Fit club in, so that, I guess, is going to stay. Mm-hmm. And then we just dropped it. Once it was away and we got it commissioned, we just like, okay. And then, as I say, so they're probably knackered because, like I said, they've been up there 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
You know, yeah.
20 years last week, wasn't it? Yeah.
Carl, it's bizarre that.
Really. And now you've mentioned it, I've never put two and two together. But was it ever referred to again?
No.
Not even referred to in passing?
Nothing. Just
that's
gone.
That's bizarre that I've never noticed.
That's it. Well, you don't. I mean, that's it. You know, there's an idea, I guess, a commissioning idea that, you know, we need, you know, people want to see more women, or people want to see whatever it is. Generally, most people just want to sit back, relax, enjoy the characters. They're happy to be there. And if it's funny, they'll just kind of go along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And no, you know, nobody's actually watching it for social purposes, you know, to see what demographics in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, you know, whether it's politically, whatever it is, most people are just... And I'm not against, you know, it being, I think you should, you know, there are areas that you don't want to cross. But, you know, I think like in that instance, we just thought, well, we're just ticking a box. You know, we'll do it and we'll get it commissioned. And nobody ever, you know, like you've just said, I don't remember. I remember, you know, you remember from episode one because they went up there and he said, you're going to have to move your train set, Dad.
Yeah.
And all that. Up,
yeah,
Casey Jones, and all that. And that was it. It was never mentioned again.
Nah.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, a couple of the last really quick things before we wrap up this episode. One of them was the train set. Again, that's a nice little juxtaposition about what the landlord of the estate pub. Well, not estate pub, but
yeah,
the local pub.
Yeah,
he's got his home.
It's great that sort of Tommy really revels. You know, Tommy's just miserable about anything, but when somebody's having a pop at Ken, he comes to life. You know what I mean? Eddie's trying to give it all steam locals or and all that. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that was a really well delivered line, though. I don't want to talk about it. Seven words.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's not even looking at him.
Yeah, right.
Furious.
Yeah, everyone knows he's lads again. You know, it's that thing, in it. You don't want anybody, you know, like she's come down and spilled the beans that he's got his little toy train set upstairs. It's like, oh no, you just know you're gonna get some stick, don't you? You know, you'll do it with your mates if something comes out about you, and then you're no, I don't want that. Yeah,
I always get grief because I always take the missus to see Enrique Iglesias.
All right.
I was going to see Enrique again. I went, well, because the fascinating night watching. watching women in their primordial state.
Yeah. But why did you leave your wife at home this time? Oh, well, you know, I just... I've seen him after every album now, and yeah, I might as well, haven't I? You know,
yeah.
All that. Yeah. See how his music's progressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So another nice little bit about Eddie. He says prostrate, just gets it wrong.
It's yeah. Just,
and he's pissed on his shoes.
Well, yeah.
You tell him that.
Eddie, what? He's pissed on my shoes.
And then he's talking to Joe, and he's like, I don't care, I'm just having a shit. And he has to tell you that Joe's having a shit. And again, Joan is so happy that she knows the information. So I just like those little bits.
Well, that's it, because they're the ones that, like everybody knows, there's always one person who sort of hasn't got social etiquette right, doesn't get the fact that you just don't go around, oh, hey, don't feed Joe's having a chat. All right, thanks very much. Like, why do you, it's not a Joan, you know? It's like, oh, okay. Is it? Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, they just go, there's something about bodily function with them too as well.
Yeah.
That they kind of enjoy. That, you know, there's something about it that's like not taboo at all with it. She's why they're together.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know.
Exactly. And the happiest in there.
Yeah, true. Yeah, absolutely.
The card game which keeps cropping up. Are they playing three card brag?
They're playing crib, I think.
The crib, is it?
I think they're playing crib, yeah. We used to play in the pubs where we used to go, they'd always play crib, and they'd have like last jacks where you'd put a load of money down, and if you got a jack, you'd be in on the game, and if you won the game, you'd get a load. Yeah, so that used to happen a lot in the pubs that we used to go in. So it just felt like, this is what they do. So he gets the board out, doesn't he, I think, and then, So we used to play. Do you know what? I'm not even sure if I'd remember how to play crib again. It's that long since I've played it, but yeah, that's what we're in there.
Then, as the coppers leave, they say the crime won't crack itself.
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
It's funny because some things I can remember who came up with it, but a lot of the stuff, it's almost like it kind of morphs into whatever it ends up being because, one of you will have an idea and, about that, what happens if he says that? So it's kind of hard to take credit for anything, really, other than things. I know about a couple of things because we would argue about them. I'd be saying, oh, no, we shouldn't say this, which was very rare. But with crime, I think we wanted to have, because police always have them slogans, don't stop, crime, or what they always have, it sloganize everything, don't they? We used to have clunk click every trip and all that. And it's just bollocks. It's really, but it's a way of, it just felt like, and particularly because you feel like, never mind, stop thief or whatever. You should be stopping the thief, or your country needs you, or it's all those things, isn't it? You just think it's just a slow. So, and what's quite nice about it is that they have they're the worst cops in the world, but they're going out slogan and giving it. Hey, and remember, crime can't crack itself. It's like we're out there in the thick of it.
In the thick of it,
somebody's got to crack crime, and it's us.
And then you've got the across the mics, Tango, Whiskey, Alpha, Air Tango.
Yeah. And again, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I remember, I don't know, because a lot of people just didn't pick up on, you talk to some people and they'll say, oh, no, I've never noticed that before. But that was one of them. But we got the guy who edited it, Tony. We used to get him to do the Tango Whiskey Alpha Tango.
Yeah.
All that. So we'd do it in the... I wonder if it was an idea that we had after we'd actually filmed it. I think it might have been, because it was one of those things that we added in post-production, you know what I mean? We'd get Tony on the microphone giving it, you know, doing the phonetic alphabet.
And they just...
But, yeah. And it was just like, it sort of... I don't think we were sure whether people would pick up on it, but it made us laugh. So in a way, that's kind of... that's what you're doing it. You know, if you're making yourself laugh.
Exactly.
Then it's like, well, okay, if people do pick up on it and they laugh, then great.
It's just a bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last part of the episode... is the sign goes up at the start, Eddie gets offended, and the button that it finishes on is who wrote Wanker on My Sign.
Yeah.
We never find out. We find out who puts the cigarette butts in on episode 6.
Yeah.
We never find out who wrote Wanker. And it could be anyone.
It could be. I suspect, I mean, I don't know this for certain either, because I don't know, but if I had to put my money on it, I would think it would probably be Tommy.
Yeah,
because he would be the most, he's kind of got, he's snide enough to want to do it. I can't see. Yeah, or it could have been Joe, but I can't see it being Joe because I think Tommy does go to the toilet, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I think just before choo choo. I think he goes, right? Exactly. And then he comes, who is it? Who's not Wanker on My Sign? it's just, and the thing is as well, and it's a funny thing, this is that, you know, in sitcom and stuff, you know, they look for like really big endings, like, you know, sort of big moments.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Early Doors is just about, you know, so that episode is just all about, it's not all about, but the top and tails, because somebody's been putting fag ends in the urinals and then they've written on his sign. If you said that, I guess if you said to, well, not even just a commissioner, and if you spoke to somebody, said, what's the first episode about? It's about the box being blocked up with cigarette butts and writing a sign, and then somebody writes on it, Wanker. Is that it? Well, no, there's more to it than that, but that's kind of, you know, you're like, I'm not so sure about that. But I think a lot of the joy of it and why people, it's affection, you know, I've got a lot of affection for it,
mm-hmm.
is because of those little, it's those little things, isn't it, that we all sort of get a bit annoyed about. You know, you go for a wee or something and giving it, oh, there's bloody weed on the floor now or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You always have little, and most people don't go, wait a minute, the vicar's on the roof and, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? The big stories. It's the little things in life that.
Like taking traffic lights.
Yeah. It's like if your phone doesn't work, or you need to make a phone call and your battery goes off. You know, those, it's just heightening those things, or bullshitting when you want to have another drink and give it, just a minute, love, the car's playing up again. Or,
yeah.
You know, everyone's done those sort of little, maybe not to the extent, you know, we exaggerate them, but you know where they come from. You know the genesis of what that idea is about. I think that's what people like and recognize.
Yeah, totally.
Look at me saying Genesis, what's all that about?
Yeah. Well, I think
when actually I was a Yes fan.
Very nice. Own Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Yeah.
They're one for the kids there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, the last game when we were playing Arsenal and you had West Ham away.
Yeah.
I was in the bogs at the pub and they were playing Level 42.
And Matt King, like, King of the Base.
I was like, it's a sign. Mm-hmm. We're gonna win.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to win. We both got beat.
I love that, yeah. The Chinese, you've never heard of the Chinese way. Everyone's heard of the Chinese way. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I think we might get to that in the next... Is the Chinese way the next episode? When they're speaking to Liam about music?
That's when he comes in, isn't it, I think? Yeah. On Charlie Charm. Yeah.
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 Well, on that note...
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're welcome, Ben. Nice one.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Episode 2, but wrapping up episode 1 of the show. And next week, we'll have our first guest.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Cheshire, and I'll be on the Early Doors podcast next week. To the regiment.
So thank you again for listening. If you want to get in touch with the show, earlydoorspod@gmail.com or at earlydoorspod on Twitter and Instagram. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, leave a rating, leave a starred message, and it just gets the message out there and the word out there for future listeners. So thank you very much, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, cheers. Nice one, Ben. Take care.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.